Welcome to a special In Case You Missed It weekend edition of Hot Off the Wire. In it, we look back at some of the top stories from the past week, as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, senior producer for Lee Enterprises and your host. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, let's look back at some of those headlines.
It was a complicated week for former President Donald Trump. The FBI searched his Mar-a-Lago estate on Monday as part of an ongoing Justice Department investigation into the discovery of classified White House records that had been moved to Florida. The former president was then in New York on Wednesday as part of a civil investigation, but he says he invoked his Fifth Amendment rights during the deposition. Then on Thursday, we learned that the Justice Department had asked a court to unseal the search warrant used in the FBI search. Attorney General Merrick Garland cited the substantial public interest in this matter and said he had personally approved the warrant. That evening, Trump posted on his Truth Social platform, "Release the documents now." Let's listen to some details from the week. And for an expanded look at the case, please download the bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire called FBI Investigation into Former President Donald Trump.
Former President Trump is reacting angrily to a reported FBI search of his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, calling it a weaponization of the justice system. The AP's Sagar Magani.
People familiar with the incident say it was part of an investigation into whether Trump took classified records from the White House to Mar-a-Lago. The Justice Department's been investigating potential mishandling of classified information since the National Archives and Records Administration said it took 15 boxes of classified records from Mar-a-Lago earlier this year. The search is a dramatic escalation of the law enforcement scrutiny of Trump, who said his home was raided and under siege. He's casting it as part of a Democrat-led effort to stop him from winning back the White House in 2024.
I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
He didn't have much to say today in New York City.
How do you feel, Mr. Trump? How do you feel?
Former President Donald Trump says he invoked his Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination. Trump testified under oath in the New York Attorney General's long-running civil investigation into his business dealings. Donald Trump in the past has criticized those who plead the Fifth. In a statement, he said he had no choice, that he was the target of an unfounded, politically motivated witch hunt supported by lawyers, prosecutors, and the fake news media. The Justice Department is asking a federal court to unseal the search warrant the FBI received before searching former President Donald Trump's estate. The AP's Sagar Magani has the story.
Attorney General Merrick Garland cited several reasons, including the fact that Trump himself publicly confirmed the search.
And the substantial public interest in this matter.
It's unclear if and when the request might be granted by a federal court in Miami.
I personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant.
As part of an ongoing Justice Department probe of classified White House records recovered from Trump's home earlier this year. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Garland also defended the work of the FBI.
The men and women of the FBI and the Justice Department are dedicated, patriotic public servants. Every day, they protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety, while safeguarding our civil rights.
Republicans like Texas Congressman Troy Nails has been critical of the Trump estate raid.
This corrupt DOJ and the FBI, they've been going after Donald Trump for years. And it's nothing. They lie. They lie to the American people. They want to destroy this guy.
I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Will you be able to see the federal warrant the FBI used to search Mar-a-Lago, former President Trump's home? It's now up to a judge. The AP's Jennifer King says Donald Trump has weighed in.
Former President Donald Trump is calling for the immediate release of the federal warrant the FBI used to search his Florida estate. In messages posted late Thursday on his Truth Social platform, Trump writes, "Release the documents now." The Justice Department had asked a court to unseal the warrant. And earlier Thursday, Attorney General Merrick Garland cited the substantial public interest in this matter, saying he had personally approved the warrant. It's part of an ongoing investigation into classified White House records recovered from Trump's home in Palm Beach earlier this year.
Officials warned of threats against federal agents following the FBI search of Donald Trump's home. Now, authorities are trying to figure out why an armed man tried to breach the FBI Cincinnati office, took off, got into a shootout with law enforcement, and was killed. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
In political news, Democrats moved closer to passage of their economic agenda. Indiana became the first state to approve an abortion ban following the Supreme Court's recent decision. A Trump-backed candidate won a primary in Wisconsin. President Joe Biden signed a bill to help veterans. And a former police officer was sentenced for his role in the January 6th riots.
The idea is to slow global warming, moderate drug costs, and tax big corporations. The Democrats' big economic package made it through the Senate over the weekend, and now it's on to the House.
The yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
Vice President Kamala Harris, who cast the tie-breaking vote, announcing the legislative victory. The estimated $740 billion package is less ambitious than President Biden's original domestic goals, but it embodies deep-rooted party dreams of slowing global warming, moderating pharmaceutical costs, and taxing big corporations. The House seems on track to provide final congressional approval when it returns briefly from summer recess Friday. I'm Julie Walker.
I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
I'm Mike Rossio reporting. Indiana becomes the first state to approve an abortion ban post-Roe. Indiana has become the first state to pass new legislation severely restricting access to abortions since the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in June that overturned Roe v. Wade. The Indiana legislature approved the near-total abortion ban Friday, and Republican Governor Eric Holcomb then signed the bill. The legislation does allow some exceptions, including in cases of rape, incest, and to protect the life and physical health of the mother. After the Supreme Court ruling that removed constitutional protections for abortion, Indiana was one of the first Republican-run state legislatures to debate tighter abortion laws. I'm Mike Gracia.
Donald Trump reasserts his grip on Republicans in the key swing state of Wisconsin, where his candidate for governor, Tim Michaels, won the primary. Michaels, a wealthy businessman who owns a construction company, beat the former lieutenant governor, who was endorsed by Mike Pence and state Republican leaders. At his victory party last night, he thanked Trump.
It was a tremendous validation of our meteoric rise in this campaign. He knows that we need to have new leadership in Madison.
Audio courtesy WKOW. During her concession speech, Rebecca Clayfish urged supporters to stay in the fight.
The fight now is truly against Tony Evers and the liberals who want to take away our way of life.
Michaels faces Evers in the general election. As much as Trump's influence in the primary was clear, some Republicans fear his involvement could hurt GOP candidates in November, including the state's Republican senator considered the most vulnerable up for re-election. I'm Julie Walker.
President Biden has signed what he calls a personal bill expanding federal health care services for veterans who served in places where toxic smoke billowed from burn pits.
I was going to get this done come hell or high water.
The bill is named after Sergeant First Class Heath Robinson, who died of cancer 2 years ago.
A soldier as strong as an ox, physically and mentally. The ultimate cuddler and protector to our sweet little girl, Brielle.
After Danielle Robinson introduced him, the president spoke directly to Brielle.
I know you miss your daddy, but he's with you all the time.
And pointed to the seat next to hers.
That's my grandson. His daddy lost to the same burn pits. And he knows what you're going through.
It was the most direct link the president's publicly made between the burn pits and his son Beau's fatal brain cancer after serving in Iraq. Sagar Magani, Washington.
An off-duty Virginia police officer who stormed the U.S. Capitol with a fellow officer has been sentenced to more than 7 years in prison. I'm Norman Hall. Former Rocky Mount, Virginia Police Sergeant Thomas Robertson didn't speak in court in Washington before federal judge Christopher Cooper sentenced him to 7 years and 3 months in prison. He also faces 3 years of supervised release after his prison term. Robertson gets credit for the 13 months he's already been jailed. Robertson traveled to Washington on the morning of January 6 with another off-duty Rocky Mount police officer, Jacob Fracker, and a third man, a neighbor who wasn't charged in the case. Fracker pleaded guilty and is to be sentenced next Tuesday. Norman Hall, Washington.
It was an eventful week for court cases involving hate crimes, abortion, and misinformation. Let's listen to details on several cases of note.
The white father and son responsible for the killing of a black man in Georgia, Ahmaud Arbery, get life in prison for committing a federal hate crime.
It's the same sentence Greg and Travis McMichael got from the state for killing Arbery. The federal crime penalty is largely symbolic. Still, Arbery's parents say it's another victory. The judge said it's not lost on the court. It was the kind of trial Arbery did not get before he was shot and killed. The McMichaels wanted to serve their time in a federal prison, saying they felt threatened in a state facility but were denied. They told police they suspected Arbery was a burglar when they chased him in a pickup and Travis McMichael shot him with neighbor William Roddy Bryan filming. I'm Julie Walker.
A grand jury in Mississippi declined to indict the white woman whose accusation set off the lynching of black teenager Emmett Till nearly 70 years ago. Carolyn Bryan Donham could have been charged with kidnapping and manslaughter. I'm Ed Donahue. AP News.
A Nebraska woman's been charged with helping her teenage daughter end her pregnancy at about 24 weeks after investigators uncovered Facebook messages in which the two discussed using medication to induce an abortion. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
I'm Mike Rossia reporting Alex Jones has been ordered to pay $49.3 million for his lies about the Sandy Hook Elementary massacre. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones has been ordered by a Texas jury to pay $49.3 million in total damages to the parents of a first grader killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre. Jones falsely called the attack a hoax, saying it was orchestrated by the government to tighten U.S. gun laws. The jury award came in the final phase of a two-week trial, adding $45.2 million in punitive damages to the $4.1 million in compensatory damages Jones was ordered to pay Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis, the couple whose six-year-old son Jesse Lewis was among 19 children and six educators killed in the classroom shooting, had sought $150 million. I'm Mike Ross.
A Louisiana man, David Chenevert, convicted of the 1979 killing of his roommate and another friend, is being released after 42 years in prison. His life sentence was recently commuted by a state board. The decision came after a nearly 90-minute hearing during which the victim's relatives testified. Almost all of them spoke against releasing Chenevert. I'm Ed Donahue. AP News.
And in other national news, President Biden visited Kentucky, and a new general will lead American forces in Africa.
President Biden is telling flood victims in eastern Kentucky,
"We're staying, the federal government, along with the state and county and the city, we're staying until everybody's back to where they were. Not a joke."
At least 37 people have died in eastern Kentucky, and more flooding is possible there this week. The president emphasized politics have no place in the discussion. He mentioned Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. At a ceremony in Germany, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was there when Marine General Michael Langley took over as the top U.S. commander for Africa.
"Young Marines around the world are watching. And your extraordinary achievement reminds them that they belong. And it reminds them that the United States military is deeply committed to making progress."
Langley is the first African-American in the Marine Corps to be promoted to four-star general. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
You're listening to Hot Off the Wire. We'll return after a short break. Concerns over the economy continued this week, although several reports indicated there may be relief in sight. Consumer and producer prices showed some improvement in July. Gas prices kept falling, and the national average dipped below $4 for a gallon by the middle of the week. Airfares have also declined. The jobs market was somewhat mixed as employers continued to add jobs. However, unemployment claims have been on the rise. Grocery deliveries have also declined, likely due to higher prices. In other headlines, Kia issued a recall, and Twitter was in the news over its deal with Elon Musk, as well as a security breach.
The government reported an increase in consumer prices for July, but at a lower rate compared to June. On a monthly basis, prices were unchanged from June to July, the first time that has happened after 25 months of increases. Brian Marks is at the University of New Haven.
Is there an impact for people at the margin? Absolutely. If gasoline prices come down, that can help offset some of the increases in the foodstuff prices.
Inflation has slowed in the recent past, only to reaccelerate in subsequent months. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
It looks like we may see some relief from relentless inflation in the coming months. Economists say it's still too early to say that inflation is headed steadily lower, but this is a move in the right direction, says one. The producer price index is down. It measures inflation before it reaches consumers. It's down 0.5% for the month of July. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but that's the first month-to-month drop in more than 2 years. And there's evidence that those supply chain snafus may ease some. Trucking freight costs fell 0.3%, but wholesale food prices rose 1% from June to July. That's a sign that those grocery prices will keep rising in the coming months. I'm Rita Foley.
AAA says the national average for a gallon of regular gas has fallen to $3.99, and the shopping app Gas Buddy cited an average of $3.98. That's down more than a dollar from mid-June, and the first time it's gone below $4 in 5 months. Motorists in some western states are still paying more. Oil prices have dropped on concerns about slowing economic growth around the world, and the U.S. benchmark for crude oil recently dipped close to $90 a barrel. Jennifer King, Washington.
Travelers are starting to get a break from higher airfares. I'm Lisa Dwyer with the latest. Air travelers are finally getting a breather on high airfares. The government says that the average airfare dropped nearly 8% in July compared with June. That's down to $311. The bad news is that's still almost 28% higher than last July. Airlines pushed fares up for most of this year because demand was high and there are fewer flights, meaning fewer seats to sell. The airlines also blame high jet fuel prices. Travel data researcher Hopper expects domestic U.S. airfares to average $286 in August and remain at or below $300 until October. That's when many people book Thanksgiving and Christmas travel. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
American employers added a stunning number of jobs last month despite raging inflation and recession fears.
528,000 jobs.
Here at the White House, President Biden is celebrating, and many economists are surprised after employers added more than double the jobs predicted. It was the best hiring month since February. The economy has now recovered all 22 million jobs lost in the pandemic's early days, and the unemployment rate is down to 3.5%, matching a more than 50-year low. For now, Wells Fargo senior economist Sarah House says one debate is over.
The recession clock hasn't started ticking yet.
The economy did contract in two straight quarters, a common but informal definition of a recession. Some economists say with the Federal Reserve likely to keep boosting interest rates in a bid to ease inflation, a recession may be coming. Unemployment claims rose again last week to the highest level since November. There were 262,000 claims last week, up 14,000, the fifth increase in 6 weeks. Jobless benefit claims are often seen as an early sign of where the jobs market is heading. For now, it's showing signs of strength. Employers added 528,000 jobs last month. The unemployment rate is 3.5%, tying a half-century low. Still, the overall economy faces challenges, with high inflation and, in turn, higher borrowing costs, with the Federal Reserve boosting interest rates to fight higher prices. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Are you having your groceries delivered these days? The AP's Shelley Adler.
Just like everything else, the cost to have groceries delivered has gone up. Consulting firm Chase Design says it's hard to get the delivery premium below $10 due to fuel and labor costs. As the pandemic eased, some shoppers turned to less expensive grocery pickup while others returned to the store. Experts say grocery delivery saw 5 years of growth in the first 3 months of the pandemic. In fact, in June of 2020, grocery delivery was a $3.4 billion business. But by June of this year, that was down 26%. I'm Shelley Antler.
I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
Kia is recalling thousands of older cars. I'm Lisa Dwyer with the latest. Kia is recalling nearly 260,000 older midsize cars because plates in the ceiling can come loose when the side curtain airbags inflate in a crash. The recall covers certain 2012 and 2013 Optima sedans. The automaker says headliner plates on both sides of the car may not be secured properly and could detach and hit drivers or passengers. Kia says it has one report of a driver being hurt in a 2012 Optima. Kia says the dealers will put industrial-grade tape over the plates to help secure them. Notification letters will be sent on September 26th. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Elon Musk says his Twitter takeover could move ahead with additional spam information. Elon Musk says his planned $44 billion takeover of Twitter should move forward if the company can confirm some details about how it measures whether user accounts are spam bots or real people. The billionaire and Tesla CEO has been trying to back out of his April agreement to buy the social media company. That led Twitter to sue him last month to complete the acquisition. Musk then countersued, accusing Twitter of misleading his team about the true size of its user base and other problems he said amounted to fraud and breach of contract. Both sides are headed toward an October trial in a Delaware court. I'm Shelley Adler.
Twitter says a still unknown number of owners of anonymous accounts might have had their identities compromised last year. A since-fixed vulnerability in Twitter's software was apparently exploited by a malicious actor. While the company says it doesn't know the extent of the global exposure, the digital advocacy group Restore Privacy says data presumably obtained through the vulnerability was being sold for $30,000 on a popular hacking site, and more than 5 million identities may have been exposed. Many people with anonymous Twitter accounts do so to protect their profiles for security reasons that include fear of persecution by repressive authorities. The revelation comes at a time that Twitter is in a legal battle with billionaire Elon Musk over his effort to back out of his $44 billion offer to buy Twitter. I'm Tim McGuire.
In international news, President Biden signed the CHIPS Act, which drew the ire of China and extended tension between the two nations as well as Taiwan. We had several updates out of Ukraine, including the destruction of Russian jets, resistance from Ukrainians, and a return of a fast food giant. New Zealand welcomed back cruise ships as COVID restrictions eased and Germany is dealing with drought.
President Biden signed the $280 billion CHIPS Act in a bid to boost domestic high-tech manufacturing over China.
These companies see what I see, that the future of the chip industry is going to be made in America.
The legislation sets aside $52 billion specifically to bolster the U.S. computer chip sector. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
China is angry about a new U.S. law. We don't have to tell you this. It's been harder to get some cars, phones, and many other things since the pandemic. Blame the disruption in chip supplies. Well, this week, President Biden signed into law a promise of billions in grants and other help for those who invest in U.S. chip factories. Now China is angry, calling it an attack on Chinese businesses and a threat to trade. The world relies on chips from Taiwan, which China claims as its territory, and factories in China assemble most electronic devices. Adding to the fears that things may get worse instead of better, worries about China's threats to attack Taiwan. Taiwan says China intends to invade Taiwan, and it's using those military drills as a rehearsal. The AP's Donna Warder.
Taiwan's Foreign Minister Joseph Wu says the drills are a rehearsal for an invasion of the island. China has been conducting military exercises that have included launching missiles into waters near Taiwan's coast, and it said those drills were prompted by last week's visit to Taiwan by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. But Taiwan's foreign minister says China is just using Pelosi's visit as a pretext. I'm Donna Warder.
I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
Kyiv says Russian planes have been taken out of action.
Ukraine's Air Force says 9 warplanes were destroyed in massive explosions at an airbase in Crimea amid speculation they were the result of a Ukrainian attack. That would represent a significant escalation in the war. Russia's denied any aircraft were damaged in Tuesday's blast or that any attack took place. Ukrainian officials have stopped short, though, of publicly claiming responsibility for the explosions while poking fun at Russia's explanation that munitions at the Saki airbase caught fire and blew up. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Ed Donahue. AP News.
In a growing challenge to Russia's grip on occupied areas of southeastern Ukraine, guerrilla forces loyal to Kiev have launched a campaign of resistance. As military forces have reclaimed some occupied areas west of the Dnieper River, the guerrilla activity has increased. The campaign includes killing pro-Moscow officials, blowing up bridges and trains, and helping the Ukrainian military identify key targets. This spreading resistance has eroded Kremlin control of those areas and threatens its plan to hold a spate of referendums as a move towards annexation by Russia. Andrei, a guerrilla coordinator in the southern Kherson region, tells the AP, "Our goal is to make life unbearable for the occupiers and use any means possible to derail their plans." Residents of the southern Ukrainian city of Mykolaiv have emerged from a 54-hour curfew to queue for water and pick up food aid in a region that's seen nearly daily bombardments from Russia. Resident Ludmila Stativka was forced from her village near Kherson 3 months ago and has been living as an internally placed person in nearby Mykolaiv since. She tells the AP, "Of course people are afraid. Russia will advance even further, but everyone's hoping that they will not reach us here and things will get better." Her friend, Natalia, adds, "Our village is occupied. We want to be able to go there. I want not only our village to be liberated, but the whole of Ukraine." Mykolaiv is less than 65 miles from Kherson, which came under Russian control early in the war, and Ukrainian officials have vowed to retake it. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Undersecretary of Defense Colin Kahl says the Biden administration is authorizing another $1 billion in aid for Ukraine.
The United States has now committed approximately $9.8 billion in security assistance to Ukraine since the beginning of the Biden administration.
A judge in New York is authorizing the U.S. to seize a $90 million jet belonging to a Russian oligarch in a continuing effort to diminish the financial pillars of the Russian government after the invasion of Ukraine. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Billboards in Russia are encouraging men to join the military as reports surface that hundreds of soldiers are refusing to fight in Ukraine and they're trying to leave the military. The AP's Charles de Ledesma.
As Russia continues to suffer losses in its invasion, now nearing its sixth month, the Kremlin has refused to announce a full-blown mobilization, a move that could be very unpopular for President Vladimir Putin. Instead, there's been a covert recruitment effort that includes using prisoners to make up the manpower shortage.
I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
The Big Mac is coming back. McDonald's is reopening in Ukraine. McDonald's will open the doors to some of its restaurants in Ukraine in the coming months, a symbol of the war-torn country's return to some sense of normalcy and a show of support after the American fast food chain pulled out of Russia. The burger giant closed its restaurants in Ukraine after Russia's invasion nearly 6 months ago, but has continued to pay more than 10,000 McDonald's employees in the country. The Ukrainian economy has been severely damaged by the war, and restarting businesses, even in a limited capacity, helps. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Now to a cruise ship and its trip to New Zealand. The AP's Charles de Ledesma has this.
New Zealand has welcomed the first cruise ship to return since the coronavirus pandemic began, signalling a long-sought return to normalcy for the nation's tourism industry. Indigenous Maori perform a welcoming ceremony as the Carnival Australia's Pacific Explorer cruise ship docks in Auckland with around 2,000 passengers and crew. New Zealand had closed its borders in early 2020 as it sought at first to eliminate COVID-19 entirely and then later to control its spread. Although the country reopened to most tourists arriving by plane in May, it wasn't until 2 weeks ago that it lifted all remaining restrictions, including those on maritime arrivals. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
And I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
German officials say water levels are low along the Rhine River because of drought.
In der Tat ist es so, dass die Wasserstände und Abflüsse der Bundeswasserstraßen aufgrund der anhaltenden
Tim Alexandrin from the German Ministry of Transport says water levels and discharges of the federal waterways remain at a very low level. And this is especially true for the Rhine, whose nautical bottleneck, he says, is just very low. The dry weather poses a headache for German factories and power plants. that rely on deliveries by ship, and this makes an economic slowdown even more likely. Capital Economics says transporting goods by inland waterways is more important in Germany than in many other Western European countries. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Finally, in health and science news, a look at the link between climate and diseases. A Lyme disease vaccine, monkeypox, sleep patterns of spiders, fresh water losing ground, and a court case involving a pharmacy's link to the opioid crisis.
I'm Mike Rossia reporting a new study connects climate hazards to 58% of infectious diseases. A new study says more than half of the known infectious diseases in people, including malaria, cholera, and anthrax, have worsened due to climate hazards such as flooding, heat waves, and drought. In Monday's journal Nature Climate Change, researchers said they found 218 of the known 375 human infectious diseases seemed to be made worse by one of 10 types of extreme weather connected to climate change. The study says warming oceans and heat waves can taint seafood and other things we eat. Droughts can bring bats carrying viral infections to people. Downpours and flooding sicken people through disease-carrying mosquitoes, rats, and deer. Additionally, the study found 223 of 286 unique non-infectious sicknesses, such as asthma and allergies, seemed to be worsened by climate hazards. I'm Mike Gracia.
Researchers are looking for thousands of volunteers in the U.S. and Europe to test the first potential vaccine against Lyme disease in 20 years. Lyme disease is a growing tick-borne threat. Pfizer's Annalisa Anderson tells the AP they're working on a vaccine to protect both adults and kids as young as five.
We call it BLA-15.
Robert Terwilliger is an avid hunter and hiker. He was the first in line when the study opened in central Pennsylvania.
I go out in the woods and enjoy myself, and if I find a tick on me, okay, I'm good. I don't have to worry about anything.
Dr. Alan Kivitz at the Altoona Arthritis and Osteoporosis Center in Pennsylvania is looking for volunteers who spend lots of time in tick-infested areas.
Not a single day goes by that someone either has a concern about Lyme disease, could possibly have Lyme disease. We live in an area where Lyme disease is endemic.
The Pfizer study will cover two tick seasons. I'm Ed Donahue.
The U.S. will stretch the monkeypox vaccine supply using smaller doses. I'm Lisa Dwyer with the latest. U.S. health officials are endorsing a new monkeypox vaccination strategy designed to stretch limited supplies by allowing health professionals to vaccinate up to five people instead of one with each vial. The new recommendation calls for the dose to be administered with an injection under the skin rather than into deeper tissue. The White House's monkeypox response coordinator, Robert Fenton, said the plan would help the U.S. stay ahead of the virus.
It is a game changer when it comes to our response and our ability to get ahead of the virus. It's safe, it's effective, and it will significantly scale the volume of vaccine doses available for communities across the country.
Recipients would still get two shots spaced 4 weeks apart. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Scientists have discovered jumping spiders show signs of sleep cycle similar to humans. Jumping spiders live up to their name.
They're very active predators. Compared with the vast majority of spiders, these ones will actually go out looking for their food, whereas a lot of the ambush predator, other species of spider, will wait for it to come to them.
Jamie Mitchell at the London Zoo says jumping spiders have good vision.
Jumping spiders, you'll see if you look at their faces, have two very large set eyes on the front of their head, and that gives them binocular vision. What that means is they've got quite good depth perception.
A new study found jumping spiders show resting patterns that look like REM sleep, which is closely associated with dreaming. Scientists aren't sure if the spiders are dreaming like humans do or what they may be dreaming of.
I would imagine they're going to be dreaming about flies, probably. Or other jumping spiders, because they do a mating dance to each other, and the males look like little flamenco dancers as they kind of wave their little arms around.
They aren't even sure if the spiders are actually sleeping. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
In dry California, salty water is creeping into key waterways. I'm Lisa Dwyer with the latest. The Sacramento and San Joaquin Rivers are central arms of California's water system, but they are becoming too salty for use for farmers and cities as the state's punishing drought drags on. Farmer Bobby Costas's cucumber crop is being affected by saltwater intrusion.
Well, the water's been getting progressively worse and worse with salt. I mean, every year it's becoming more of a challenge. This year in particular with our cucumbers, we're having 14%, 16% crooked cucumbers, and a lot of that's attributable to salt.
In dry times, less fresh water flows from the mountains through California's rivers and into an estuary known as the Delta. Planners are trying a desalination plant, an artificial rock barrier, and groundwater pumps to try to solve the problem.
A federal judge has ruled that Walgreens can be held responsible for contributing to San Francisco's opioid crisis for over-dispensing opioids for years without proper oversight and failing to identify and report suspicious orders, which is required by law. The city of San Francisco says the pharmacy chain continually violated what they were required to do under the Federal Controlled Substances Act by failing to track opioid prescriptions and failed to see the many red flags of physicians and others who were dramatically overprescribing. A U.S. district judge has ruled that for 15 years, Walgreens dispensed hundreds of thousands of pills, eventually contributing to the city's hospitals being overwhelmed with opioid patients. Walgreens said it will appeal the ruling, which it said was not supported by facts and law. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening.
Audio provided by the Associated Press. Music is by SkillCell and provided through Pixabay. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.